Blog Talk Radio.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
Welcome to In the Country, an Artist Insights exclusive production, bringing you up close and personal interviews with your favorite country music stars. Now here's the host of In the Country, Dave Woods.
Glad to have you tuned in to the show. I am Dave Woods. Each week we bring you an up close and personal interview with one of your favorite country music artists. Well, today my guest is a three-time winner of the British Columbia Country Music Awards Female Vocalist of the Year Award. She is also had a CD released called Every Moment featuring the hit single Hearts on the Run, and that had a video for it on CMT you've probably seen. She also made it into the top 10 in the first season of Canadian Idol. It is my pleasure to welcome to In the Country, Karen Lee Badden. Hey, Karen.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing great.
You getting used to this cold fall weather?
We actually aren't too bad out here.
We've You're out in Vancouver, so things are still staying warm?
Yeah, we've had some great sun. It's not that it's necessarily, you know, going out in a tank top or anything, but we definitely have had some sun, so I can't complain. It's a nice October.
That's awesome. Now, let's start off the show, Karen, we'll talk about some of your influences, and you've got such a diverse range, and I spoke with you before on the show during our Vancouver CCMA edition, and that was
yep.
great to speak with you, and Natalie Harper, of course, helped set that up. So some of your influences, Frank Sinatra, for example, can you tell us what his music means to you?
You know, I think it's just that going back to real music. I know that's probably a funny way to say it, but I just look at times like that, you know, in the Aretha Franklin, the Etta James, and Frank Sinatra, and those types of times when recordings were just so great and raw, and you could just really, really hear the originality of the artist instead of, and I don't want to go as far as to say these days it's made up. It's not that, but I think that we have kind of over time diverted a little bit away from just that real raw talent and really trying to kind of bring that out as opposed to all the bells and whistles that you can now put into
yeah.
music to kind of, you know, make things sound a whole lot better. I mean, these days you could take pretty much anybody and, you know, even the shower singers, and they could make them sound like rock stars with the right equipment, you know what
it's
I mean?
It's amazing the technology can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. That's fun. That's great. I just, from my own influences and kind of looking back and listening to those guys and just kind of watching their journey in music, it just seems so different than the journey that we take now. And I really appreciate and you know, feel humbled to be in the industry, to be able to be a part of where that all kind of came from. Jazz and blues are really close to my own heart, so I love kind of going back into that genre and really kind of watching. I wish so badly that I could just wake up and, you know, spend an hour back there, you know?
Wouldn't that be cool, back in that time and
totally.
That type of music? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you'd call yourself an old soul, as they say?
I've been called that a few times. I don't know if maybe it's, you know, the style of music or the style of my voice or what it is, but I would probably say there's a little of that in me for sure.
If you were to define your sound in one way, could you define it, or is it sort of a bit of jazz and the blues and country, and is it sort of different depending on what song you're doing?
Yeah, people ask me that a lot. I kind of go, oh, who do you sound like? I think it's an interesting question. It's kind of like the two questions. Who's your favorite artist, or what's your favorite song to sing? I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Hard to narrow it down, yeah.
I know, hey. I would have to say that my style of voice would be a little bit of Faith Hill, a little bit of Martina McBride, kind of merges into Norah Jones and Bonnie Raitt. I've kind of got that gritty, gospel-y kind of sound mixed with the kind of powerhouse, you know?
Yeah.
And I think for me, when I pick a song, it's not necessarily, you know, around how loud it's going to be or how, you know, what's the highest note in the song or anything like that. It's emotionally, can I drop into it? And
right.
Can I project, whether it's in my own writing or whether it's in a song that's pitched to me, can I project that meaning across to my audience and, you know, have them? I think that's the main thing. You know who does it so well is Johnny Reed. Johnny Reed
yes.
does that concept just, you know, immaculately, in my opinion. And he can take a song, again, whether it's his own writing or something that he's been pitched, and just throw it back to that audience, and it just hits them right in the heart. And he's very, very good at that, and that's something that I strive to do, you know, every day. And when I even, you know, every single time I hear him perform, he's definitely somebody who I look up to. And he's a dear person as well. I've met him many times, and he's just a totally, you know, total sweetheart.
And he just swept at the CCMAs.
Yeah, he just does so, and you know what? He just keeps getting better and better, and people just are really, really seeing him. You know, and I really don't think that it's. I think that people, it's just a matter of people getting to know him as an artist, and the minute they do, he doesn't really have to sell himself in any way. You know, I mean, they're just,
exactly.
They're just
once you hear him, once you hear him sing, yeah, you're hooked.
Yeah, he's real, and he just really feels the music, and he's very, very smart in the types of songs that he sings, and so I think that. You know, like I've kind of said before, it's a group project. You know, whether you're an independent artist or whether you're a signed act, the whole thing is a group project. And I know I've asked him many questions, you know, over the years. And you just feed and you learn off of everybody else around you because you need everybody around you to kind of do this crazy nuts industry.
Definitely. Is there anything you can point out, say, in the last couple of years that you've learned something recent that has made a difference in what you're doing, or even further back than that?
You know, I think there's a million things. I think that.
I guess
you know,
there's always something new to learn, isn't there?
Yeah, I think every time you hit the stage, you know, what I have really, really felt in my own life, and I think that this goes for, hopefully you'll be so bold to say, I think this goes for anybody in any line of work, in any type of, you know, area in their life. As you grow, you change mentally. And in the industry, when you change mentally, you change vocally. And so I think just being able to, you know, go through the next part of your life, whatever that may be, if it's happy, sad, or whatever it might be, really trying to not hide that is something that I've had to learn. Not hide that, but express that. And that's something even through my producers over the years that they've kind of said, you know what, people really want to know you. And you don't have, no one has to put on a persona that everything is happy-go-lucky and dandy all the time because that's just not life, you know. We would love for it to be, but, you know, the fact is that everybody goes through their crap, excuse my term. And I think it's just a matter of knowing that people really want to get to know the artist. And with that being said, I think what I've probably really learned is that wherever you think your limit is, you've got more. And, you know, it's like, for instance, some songs that I'll listen to or I'll go into studio and I'll sing and you're allowed to sing them 3-4 times or however many times you want to. I really try and kind of get that real feeling out in the first 3 or 4 takes, and then I don't really kind of want to mess with it. And I like that, you know, a couple mistakes is, for me, I like that. I like that sound. But once you've done that, to take that and then go with that to the stage and try and reproduce that on the stage sometimes makes you a bit nervous because you go, oh, my word, my producer, you know, pulled this, that, and whatever out of me, and I had to breathe here in order to get that note out, and, like, you know, it might sound funny when I'm on stage. And I think it's just this, you know, telling yourself you did it, so go reproduce it. You already did it once. So it's a, you know, it's a kind of a little bit of a game with yourself to kind of say, okay, I can do this. It's just a matter of figuring out the best route to get this out and to just kind of know that everybody's human. Everybody's human. And they're just wanting, hopefully, to really appreciate music for what it is and know that people make mistakes. And I'm really just in this for music, just for real music and getting to know really great people and building this this great team and getting my words and my music out there, and, you know, cross my fingers that people like it. And if they don't, cross my fingers that they like somebody else I know.
There you go. Now, what about videos? You're talking about performances, and you've got to bring it all the time and recreate the emotion. You've done it. You've done a video for Hearts on the Run. We're going to hear mm-hmm. that song in a moment. What was it like doing that video? Did you feel comfortable in conveying the emotion of the song?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That was kind of a bit of a funny story, too. I was wondering how I was going to go about and do this, and I thought, okay, well, you know, the normal way to do it is you kind of go through CMT and you ask them to kind of support you, and then they fund you and so on and so forth, and it really depends. I mean, it's the same as anything else. There's a ladder to climb, and, you know, when they're looking at their list and they see somebody like George Kanyon or somebody like Johnny Reed and they've also applied, I have no doubt in my mind that obviously that's probably going to take precedence.
Sure.
And there's only a limited amount of grants. So I did this a couple of times, and I kind of thought, you know what? I just want to get this done. I just want to do it. And I'm not even really overly concerned if it gets on CMT or not, but I just want to, you know, even if it's on YouTube or whatever it might be, I just want to be able to get something out to my audience. And so I had a couple of friends of mine come forward, and they were amazing. They had done some commercials for some charity events and also some movies that had gotten into local box offices, and they had a bunch of film left over, and they were friends of mine since I was like 15. I mean,
wow.
Literally, I met one of them at Peach Fest. Like, it's just so funny to me. And at the time, I thought, oh my word, like, you know, last thing, you know, I was putting back beers with this friend of mine. I was like 19. Are you sure you can like make a music video? Really? Like, it was just, you know,
that's
a little
funny.
And I know, and so. So they came together and just went, no, you know what, let's try this. And so the entire video, applauding them for it, absolutely, it's Needlefish Films. They came forward and built this thing. And between them and myself and the other crazy amount of people that they brought on board that just did an amazing job, we did this video totally independently. And then the day I got it, I flew into Ontario and walked it into CMT and sat down and went,
wow,
would you guys play this? And they were game, and they supported it, and they still do. And so I just feel very blessed in that way that they came on board with that. But I had no problem. You know what? It's probably because I was with people that I really knew well.
Right.
And they were just so unbelievably easy to work with. I mean, to have that many people working side by side doing something that is time sensitive, and there's cameras everywhere, and the sun's going down, and we did it outside. And I mean, I remember one scene. We were on the beach, and the sun is going down. And one thing that you do in videos, I probably shouldn't even tell you this.
Let us in on it.
It sounds so funny, but one thing they do in videos is they put it into double time, and so there's portions of the video that are in cut time, which is in slow-mo, so you're literally singing your song this slow. And then they do other ones where you're singing the song double the speed, and so it sounds so funny, and it looks hilarious when you're doing it, and then they take this thing, and they build this crazy video out of it, and you would never know in a million years that that's what's going on. And so I remember, you know, everybody's running around everywhere because the sun's going down. They have to do this, and I'm singing like a mile a minute, and I feel like I'm, you know, when you put a tape really quick and it's like chipmunks, you know. And so, we did this, and we actually got it in, and everybody the entire time just got along. Everybody just, you know, there was no stepping on toes, and, you know, no one getting frustrated with anybody else. And, I mean, that there is a good team, you know.
So when you were shooting it, there was no guarantee at that point that CMT was going to play it. You were doing it, and then, like you said, you took it down to CMT. So is their process, they have a panel of people who watch it and make that decision?
That's right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Panel of people that will give give the grants out, and a panel of people that will kind of commit to whatever artists bring in. From my understanding, it doesn't. I guess maybe artists don't do it all that often. Now, with that being said, I know it's happening more and more now, where people are funding their own videos and bringing them in. It's definitely not necessarily a cheap process.
Right.
But you know what? If you can do it and you can make it work, it's not something I can do every month. But yeah. I'm very glad that I've now kind of had the experience. I always kind of explain it like, you know, working in the restaurant for the first time, you get hired in the dish pit. You just do. I mean, I worked at the Keg when I was 15, and I got hired in the dish
right.
pit. You know, and you have to appreciate it. I think what's great about it is I think that's the concept. Even if they're hiring you to be a hostess or a waitress or whatever it is, it's a matter of being able to appreciate all the different pieces of the puzzle that it takes to make that restaurant run, and I think it's the
yep.
same.
Yeah, you start there and you work your way up, and it's hard to know which video or which song is going to be the one that sort of jumps you to that next level. I mean,
that's
there could
right.
be a couple that are that sort of get your name a little known, but then that next single could be the one that, you know, everybody's talking about you.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And it's just a it's a live and learn and keep on learning. And I'm doing that, man, every day.
Had you done any acting before, like in high school or things where you were on stage that made you feel comfortable with the video process, or is that just something that sort of is in you, just comfortable?
Oh,
way?
You should see the acting. I should send you. I should send you a couple photos of that.
Yeah.
I did a bit of acting. I remember actually, there's a picture on. Picture on Facebook, if anybody's on my Facebook. There's a picture of Facebook. Don't go too far. You might see some incriminating or something. But
you get some extortion.
Yeah, exactly. There's a picture. All I know is that my drama music teacher added a picture where I was in the Mikado, which is like an Oriental play, and I'm in a kimono
with a
umbrella, like a Japanese umbrella over my head, and my face is all painted, and my hair's up in a bun, it's all black, and I look Japanese.
Wow.
It was chopsticks in my hair, you know. I mean, I went to a school where they really, really majored in music and in drama, and so it was a lot of fun to kind of be a part of those things, because to be honest with you, I couldn't sit still in school. So,
just kind of hyper and lots of energy?
Yeah. I just wanted to get to music class.
So when did the music start? Like, so high school, was it even before that when you were much younger?
Yeah, it was. I think, if I remember correctly, you're probably going to hear this story twice, because I think I brought this one up last time.
You may have mentioned it, yeah.
My first experience on the stage as a professional singer, no, I'm just kidding, was when I was four.
Yeah.
My mom, I wish my mom was here because she could tell you this. I'm sure I embarrassed the heck out of her, but... I was in the church, and we had a congregation of maybe about 1,200 at the time, and it was Seven Oaks Alliance Church in Abbotsford, and I proceeded to take my dress and yank it over my head.
Right.
That was my first, I think it was a solo, I don't even know, but I was, all I know is I was four, and whether I was in the choir with everybody else,
yeah.
I guess I needed more attention of some sort, I don't know. But
yeah, or you
I
forgot
still,
the words and just wanted to... Yeah.
That's right. I still get people that will come up to me and tell me this. I'm like, oh, that's just lovely. I'm so glad that you saw things that I didn't even know what they were, you know, at that point in my life. That's just great. And thanks for reminding me now.
There you go. Yeah, we'll all take a moment and recover.
Yeah, that's great. The odd person will crack a joke and go, do you still do that in your performances?
That's right.
Going, No, I don't think so. I don't think that would work over very well.
That's too funny. Now, let's turn back to the music for a second here, Karen. The song Hearts on the Run, so we talked about the video. I'm going to play the song in just a moment. Tell us about the song and sort of when you recorded it, what it meant to you and that whole bit.
There's always a process to choosing songs, and it's kind of what I was talking about before. I sat down with my producer, Tom McKillop,
mm-hmm.
at the time, and we ran through a whole bunch of different songs. And, I was kind of in the middle of a relationship thing. We all go through those. And you know what? And I mean, even growing up and, you know, the starting the dating process and so on and kind of going back and forth and, you know, going through the breakup and breaking up with people and so on and so forth. There are different things that kind of pop out at you and get you emotionally. And this was one of those songs where I loved the concept of it. For me, what it meant to me was being a strong woman. Whether it's a strong man or a strong woman, it's totally everybody's own song and everybody's own meaning, but when it says, you know, in a world that's full of desperados out there searching anywhere the wind blows, and then it talks about not being one, not wanting to be one of those hearts on the run. I don't want to always be disconnected from that and bouncing around on, you know, emotionally and not having that connection. I want to make sure that I know where my heart is and I know where I want that direction to be, and I've got a hold of that no matter what happens, instead
right.
of kind of going through the breakup and get back together and breakup and get back together. So
well, that's cool that the song really, when you heard it, it touched you and had meaning for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
it's
great.
It's written by a couple of really great writers in Nashville, Mark Nessler and Jennifer Hansen, and
oh, yeah.
They're just, you know, outstanding writers. And
Jennifer was an artist for a while as well with some songs.
That's right.
Too. Yep.
That's right. You know, Tom's a great guy. You know what he used to do with me, and I think it's a smart move. When artists are getting pitched songs, especially when they first start out, is he never used to tell me who the writers were. He just wanted me to pick the song. And I think it's kind of a cool concept because in the end, I ended up picking a song co-written by Carolyn Dawn Johnson and two, three songs, I think, co-written by Lisa Brokop. And it's just funny because probably hearing the names on them would kind of influence your thinking and go, oh, yeah, it'd be so cool to have this song or that song on your record. And
for sure.
It's neat now to be able to kind of look back and go, okay, these songs are there because I really loved them. And on top of that, look who wrote them. So cool, you know.
And that just becomes a bonus. That's an interesting approach because you're right. I could see an artist, you know, hearing the name of the writer and then maybe that, like you say, that influencing them. But you were just hearing each song equal as a song and made those decisions.
Absolutely. In building the record that I'm working on right now, it's been kind of interesting for me with that concept in mind, and I'm glad Tom did that with me because I now use that every day. I have one on hold right now, a song co-written by Gretchen Wilson, but I've had to let go of about four, and it's funny because every time another one comes up, I go, it's Gretchen, though. No, Karen, you can't, you know, if it's right, it's right, and if it's not right, it's right for somebody else. So
that's kind of a cool factor, though,
to record
a Gretchen Wilson song, because we obviously know it's going to have a certain kind of sound to it, an attitude, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what's amazing about her? She's very smart in what she picks for herself, and then she writes so many different other ways. Like some of the stuff that I've heard, I'm going, what, really? And the only reason why I know it's her is because she also demos her own work.
Okay.
And so I'll get the song in, and I'll hear her singing it, and I'm going, oh, my word, that's totally Gretchen, but it's so not something she would put on her own record, hence the reason why she's pitching it out. So
that's cool. So she's got sort of the one life as an artist and who the Gretchen sound is, Redneck Woman, and then she's got another side as a songwriter with totally different stuff.
That's right.
That's
absolutely
awesome.
And I think that's a real writer, you know. That's a person who can, you know, just that type of diversity with your own skill like that and being able to lyrically kind of change that emotion all over the place and write for different artists. Like I would imagine she'd be an amazing person for an artist looking for a specific type of song. You'd be able to phone her up and kind of go, okay, we've got somebody looking for something that is, you know, A, B, or C. And she's that type of person that really grasps that concept and kind of delivers it without getting her own type of singing, you know, overbearing on the writing.
That's very talented. Now, we'll come back and talk some more, Karen. I'm going to play the song we've been talking about now. This is Karen Lee Batten with Hearts on the Run here on In the Country.
Side by side before the angry words and all the tears we cried. Now we're standing back to back, silence says it all. Yeah, baby, it's come down to the last and final draw. We can save this love of ours, the choice is yours and mine, or let it just go. It happens all the time in a world that's full of desperados. don't have to look far to see a sad regret. You can tell them by their scars. Lost and lonely, loving, scared, with a hunger in their souls to find once again what they foolishly let go. Don't wanna spend the rest of my life living in the past.
Country artist Karen Lee Batten from her CD Every Moment. The song is called Hearts on the Run. The video is on CMT as well. Now, Karen, we're going to turn to the fun question file. Got a few questions to ask you just to get to know you a little better outside of music.
Okay.
Of course, you weren't prepared for this, so I'll give you some time to think on this. I'm just bringing it on you.
Perfect. Love these.
Perfect. If you could appear on any reality show out there, which one would you like to be on?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I might need a minute. Hang on.
Sure.
Well, Dancing with the Stars looks pretty fun. I've
Are you a pretty good dancer?
No, not at all. That's
no.
Why.
Okay. That'd be fun.
Not in the least.
Okay.
I would love to be able to learn how to dance. I don't know. It's funny. I used to dance all the time in high school, and then of course when you turn of age and you're allowed to go to the bar, then you know. I danced all the time then and thought that I knew what I was doing. And then I realized that at some point down the line that it probably didn't look as good as I thought it did. And then I just kind of stopped altogether. So I would love to be able to do something like that. I don't know. That's funny. I mean, being somebody who's already been on a reality show.
That's right.
I know, a little bit of what goes on behind the scenes. So I would definitely have to make sure that it's going to be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, and that's what I remember last time you described Canadian Idol as fun but intense.
Yeah, it was. It was just, and I can imagine that any one of these reality shows are like that as well. It's 24-hour competition. You know, even when you're not on the camera. It's constantly you're in a competition, so it's a very, very different world to live in, and I'm glad that it's not 24/7 for your nine to five work every single day, you know. But it was an 8-month time for me, and I'm really glad that it was 8 months
and not 12 months or more,
and not 12 years. Yeah. Exactly. It's
amazing because, yeah, it's demanding in a lot of ways, but also just the fact that each week you've got to bring a different style. And obviously any artist who's made it out there is usually either a country artist or a pop artist for the most part. But there you've got to showcase a different style each week and try to be good at it. So that part alone I would think is tough.
Yeah, it's good,
too.
Though. I think it's challenging. Yeah. I liked that part of it. I really liked the part of you know, picking out the song and kind of rehearsing it and challenging yourself to kind of expose a different strength. And it's I like it. I really, really did like it. That was probably one of my favorite parts about it, was A, meeting all the people on the show and all the other acts. I mean, I was just totally blown away at the talent that's in Canada. It was just insane. You sat there in the beginning with these, you know, 200 people in front of you that got gold tickets to Ontario. And I'm telling you, I honestly would not have been able to tell you who was going to win this thing or not, or even who was going to be in the top 10. I mean, I would say 190 of them could all be professional singers. Like, it was just wild to me. And that was one of my favorite parts. And the other was absolutely learning different genres that you never really thought you were going to approach in your life. I mean, for me at that point, I just kind of started getting into the country music industry. So for me, it was country, mm-hmm. and it was jazz, and a little bit of rock. And so I ended up doing Norah Jones, and then I ended up doing Black Velvet. And I think what happened was, for me, was that probably looked slightly schizo to the audience, you know? I mean, just, it went from one area where they went, we kind of like her like that, and then way over here. And it was how is there any sort of balance between the two?
That's right, because usually an artist has one identity, even though they stretch a bit, but you sort of know what to expect from a Gretchen and from a Faith, and so sort of the contrast. But like you said, it's good to stretch like that just to get the creative muscles going.
Yeah, I think I would say to anybody who would go for Canadian Idol and get into the top 10, from my own experience, just stay consistent. Mm-hmm. If you get in the top 10, they obviously loved what you did to get there.
There you go. Yeah.
So, you know, messing with heads is what I did, I guess.
Now, also in the fun question file, Karen, and this one you may not be able to come off the top of your head, but if you were to write a book about your life so far, an autobiography, mm-hmm. can you think of an appropriate title to name that? I should have music playing right now.
That's
Jeopardy
a good
theme or something.
One. That's a great question. I got to ask my friends and family this one.
Yeah, that one you could do some research on. And
I like that question. I probably would call it something like "Do you know yourself?" or "Who are you?"
Okay.
Something along those lines. And there's no right or wrong answer to that. I think it's just how life changes and how you change during that. During that life, and I think it's also a question to people around you of what they think of you, and so on and so forth. And I don't know. It's funny. I just put a tattoo on my left arm.
Okay.
On my 30th birthday.
Not so bad.
And it says, "If music be the food of love, play on. Love looks not with the eyes, but with the mind."
Wow.
And it's a Shakespeare quote, and it's from two different plays, and I really love that concept. So, you know, it probably have to tie in somewhere between that and this, where it's I always find it so amazing. I always want to know, and I hope nobody gets offended by this, but I always want to know a blind person who they fall in love with, you know, because it's really about the inside. You know, it really, really is. And of course, we all, you know, I mean, people find people attractive, and that is totally normal. And that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that at all whatsoever. But I really am kind of appreciating so many people around me right now in my own life. And it feels like there's such a good team around me. And it's just amazing what different people can bring to the table. And whether it be, you know, an outer look, an inner look, you know, whatever that may be, it doesn't really matter. It's amazing the talent that people have, and how many people don't get a chance to expose that or to be in certain different areas because of setbacks like those society, you know, things that just kind of have come in our way over time. And
so
it would probably be, not to get really emotional on you.
Pretty emotional and deep book, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, really. It's no one's going to read
I was expecting you to say, like, wild and crazy or something like that. And it's like totally philosophical.
Yeah, No one's going to read the book at all. Don't read the book, Bob.
Well, you'll get on Oprah with it anyway, and you can go from
yeah,
there.
Really? Well, let me tell you. I mean, I already at my age, it's been quite interesting, to say the least.
I'm sure
the chapters will get more. I've actually thought about writing a book before.
Oh, yeah?
Absolutely. Just all the places that I've been able to see so far, all the people I've
wow.
been able to meet, and you know, traveling for me is a huge thing. I was able to go over to the UAE, to the Persian Gulf, and entertain the Canadian military back in 2004 or 2005, and you know, just and I've been to India a couple of times, and just you know, seeing all these different areas, and I think that's probably where the sentimental and emotional part of me comes out.
Oh,
is,
cool. That ties into my third question in the fun question file about travel. You mentioned a couple of places. Is there any place you haven't been yet that you've got next on your list?
Greece.
Yeah?
I really want to go to Greece. Yeah, I really, really do. One of the singles on the record coming up is actually sung by a Greek gal, and it went number one in North America. But it never did reach. It went number one in the UK, and it never did reach North America. And so we ended up grabbing the song, and we're gonna record it on the next record. And we hope to go to Greece to do the music video.
Yeah.
And I'm so psyched. You know, hopefully that will pan out, because I really, really would love to see Greece. I'd love to see Greece, and I've never been to Costa Rica, so, you know, I have to throw that in there, too.
There you go. A couple of good places left to see you, for starters, anyway. Now, let's return back to the music here now. This is the second single from the CD, I understand, called One Day.
Yep.
So tell
That's
us about
correct.
This song. Yeah.
This song is, I love it because of the beat of it. It's got such a good drive, and it's the number. It's the first song on the record. When you put the record in the CD player, this is the song mm-hmm. that comes on, and I really like that on albums too. I mean, the first song should really kind of grip you, and
yeah, for sure.
And I hope that this one does it for people. It's got some really great feedback, so I'm excited about that. It just has a really, really great drive, and it's kind of, funny enough, it's kind of a little bit along the same concept as Hearts on the Run, but said in a totally different way. It just says, you know, one day I'm going to let it all go, like I'm not going to dwell on the past, I'm not going to, you know, and that kind of a concept in it, but it's really kind of kick drum driven, and you'll hear it. It's written by Jeffrey Steele and Craig Wiseman,
right,
which are just two
huge writers,
unbelievably talented writers. I mean, they've won Nashville Writing Awards a gazillion times over,
yeah.
And fantastic people. So I'm thrilled to be able to sing their song.
Very cool. This is Karen Lee Batten and One Day here on In the Country.
One day I'm gonna let it shine.
Lee Batten with One Day here on In the Country. That is from her CD, Every Moment, and great, powerful vocals always from you, Karen. It's great to listen to.
Oh, thanks.
I can tell you sing with, you get right into it. Where can people, our listeners, buy that CD right now?
They can buy it on musicmax.ca. If they're okay. Local, we've got it in London Drugs. And there's a couple areas around town in Abbotsford. Anybody can actually email me or my crew at KarenLeeFans@Shaw.ca or on Facebook or on MySpace. I'm all over that. I'm on the road a lot, and I get really, really bored in my hotel room.
Thank you, emails, and keep you entertained.
Exactly. Yes, please. Absolutely. And if anybody has a better book title for me, you know, maybe shoot me. Shoot me an email.
Yeah, taking suggestions for the book. That's cool.
That's right.
And what about for the rest of the year, Karen? Any big plans? You're doing some concerts and stuff and getting ready for the new CD?
Yeah, I seem to be in Alberta every other weekend right now. I'm not really sure why. It was really cool, actually. Last weekend I performed with Lone Star out in Calgary.
Oh, wow.
And that was a blast. Very different, though. So different because Lone Star swapped their lead singer.
Right.
And I pulled a complete blonde and I'm total mind blank because when I first walked in, I thought, whoa, why did he grow his hair? Like, he's a little old for that, you know?
Not Richie McDonald anymore.
I'm going, what? And then my buddy, actually Gord Bamford, standing next to me, and he starts laughing and he goes, they have a different lead singer. And I went, oh, my word, that's right. Like, I mean, foot in the mouth or what? Like, just totally dumb. But anyway, so it was just weird. It was very different. Not to say it wasn't good. It was good, but it is just strange, you know? It's just strange watching somebody else in a band that you've known for so long do it one way to swap it in. It's this 25-year-old kid, and he's very, very good, but it's just different, you know? And he's singing all the same songs. And
hate to interrupt, but we've got about a minute left. So I want to thank you so much, Karen, for being on the show. It's been a real pleasure hearing your music and talking with you once again. I always enjoy it.
Thank you so much for having me, Dave, honestly, and for everybody tuning in. Hey, and drop me a line.
Sounds great. We'll look forward to the book and more great music.
Thank you, Ann.
Take care. My guest today has been Vancouver country artist Karen Lee Batten. I'm Dave Woods, and The Country is an Artist Insights exclusive production.
In the country, we're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country, leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone, the best in music too. Spend some time in the country, we've been waiting.